Deployed to Lesotho on observer mission for elections that are due on the 26th. And Honorable Prince Zulu, who's also attending social services meeting this afternoon. Those are the only apologies, honorable members, that I have received. And may I also apologize. Initially, the meeting was scheduled to start at 10, but then there were some changes with regard on the parliamentary program, which then necessitated that because of the plenary that was in the morning, that we shift this meeting to 2 o'clock, and that has caused some inconvenience to other MECs who would have loved to be part of this meeting. And our apologies for that. I have taken the matter up with the proclaiming whip that such changes at least should be communicated well in time so that we don't inconvenience other honorable members. Honorable members, we convening today to receive reports on the last quarter spending on a public works program for social sector. And as you would be aware, the grant benefits different departments in different provinces. As you would be aware, that its main objective was to help with the creation of jobs and to prolong the period where such jobs are created. So don't be confused when you see one province like Eastern Cape talking for social development and another for education and health and so on and so forth. So that is the nature of the grant itself. And without any much waste of time on members, I will allow the National Treasury to open the session by submitting or tabling their report that indicate as to how is this grant performing, and afterwards I will then allow the national department. On the National Treasury submissions, everybody is allowed to ask questions for clarity and make inputs. Where there are disagreements in terms of information that would be tabled, provinces will be at liberty to raise such. And also under the Department of Public Works, the same procedure will apply. We will also allow provinces to comment on the correctness or otherwise of the report as it will be tabled by the National Department. I'm saying so because I know the two departments compiled their reports based on the reports received from provinces. So quite often you might find that there are some areas of disagreements, although few. I will then hand over to Mr. Sise to lead us.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and colleagues from the provinces and the National Department. It's a brief presentation on the numbers as at the end of the previous financial year, 2011-12. The brief that we got for this meeting was to present the information in respect of the fourth quarter, which effectively is the whole year of 2011-12. As I go through, I will elaborate on some of the issues pertaining to the information in the slides. But by way of introduction, just to outline the purpose of the grant, as the Honourable Chair has pointed out, the grant is cascaded from one national department but to various provincial departments in each province. During 2011-12, there were some provinces where it was just one department in a province getting it, but by and large it was multiple departments in each province, and that is certainly the case with respect to 2012-13 as well. you look at the numbers for that Division of Revenue Act that was recently signed. And the purpose as outlined there is firstly to incentivize provincial sector, social sector departments identified in a LOC frame administered by the National Department of Public Works to increase job creation by focusing on strengthening and expanding social service programs that have employment potential. And so there is data, past performance data, that is used by the National Department within an incentive model to identify eligible departments in provinces. And these departments receive an allocation from national government through the National Department of Public Works. So basically what that simply means is that we look at performance in the previous period, and on the basis of that, that is how that funding is determined. That is why when you look at the Division of Revenue Act, you see that the amounts in terms of allocations are not multi-year, they're single-year, because they can't be multi-year, because you have to wait for the previous performance before determining what the amount should be for that particular period. Provincial departments are supposed to use these funds to pay the stipends of wages of community caregivers and other community workers. The allocation criteria to provincial departments is based on payment of stipends of volunteers and wages for other community development workers, or called CDWs, at a minimum of 60 rands per day. Provinces may use a portion of the funds to expand the program to different social service benefit areas, for instance, the sport development areas, such as your mass participation programs, etc., as well as community safety awareness. Provincial departments are therefore required to sign an incentive agreement with the National Department to ensure that the conditions are met and the targets are achieved. Finally, the provincial departments are also required to submit quarterly reports on how they have actually performed and how they have spent that money. This is just an outline of the provincial departments that were receiving funds, an allocation during 2011-12 in terms of the 2011 Division of Revenue Act. As I said, in the Eastern Cape, it was just social development at just under 5.1 million rand. Free State Health is getting 15.6 million. Gauteng, social development 15.07 and health 19.78. We note that in the previous financial year in Gauteng, the health and social development was a combined department, that the decision has been taken going forward that it will be separated again into separate departments in the MTF period in which we are now in. In Limpopo, social development 3.38, health 24.95. In Mpumalanga, it was three departments, health, education, and safety, getting allocations, as you can see there. In the Northern Cape, it was also three departments, social development, health, and education. In Northwest, social development, health, and education as well were getting funds. Most of it was going to health and education. And in the Western Cape, it was just under 8.7 million for health and just under 8.1 million for the provincial education department. Looking then at the numbers that we have for the end of the year, let me first point out that these are what we call preliminary reporting numbers as required by Section 40 and Section 32 of the Public Finance Management Act. These numbers have been published publicly as required by Section 32 of the PFMA, so we're just reproducing them here with some other supplementary information. We are currently waiting for what we call the pre-audited numbers, which is what departments must submit to the Auditor General at the end of May in terms of the PFMA. We have been informed by some departments that they anticipate that because of the way in which the basic accounting system journal entries work, there may be minor changes in the numbers. But at this stage, we haven't received any specific indications of what those changes may be or whether or not they are substantial. These are the numbers that we have submitted. I think the first concern, as was outlined in a previous a meeting that we had, I think it was in February on this ground, was the numbers particularly for the Eastern Cape, which at the third quarter were showing zero expenditure. there was no improvement in the fourth quarter. We're still looking at no expenditure on those funds. When we checked as to whether or not there's an issue with the report, you know, we're still waiting for confirmation as to what exactly happened. Is it in fact the case that money was not spent at all, or was money spent and there's a problem with the report? But in any event, this is the report that was submitted to us as signed off by the province during the month of April for the end of the year. Free State expenditure is at 75.1% of the grant was spent at the end of the year by the Free State. Gauteng, 81.7% expenditure. The only province to spend all of the funds was KwaZulu-Natal, which spent money there. We have told them that we will assume that 231,000 rand is actually their own money, because obviously you can't spend more than the money that you get in terms of the actual quantum that's transferred to you. But in any event, they spent their full allocation there. The Limpopo province spent 88.3%, Mpumalanga just under 81%, Northern Cape just under 94%, Northwest 88.3%, Western Cape also very low expenditure there, showing at just under 48% expenditure. Therefore, the outcome is that out of the 206.1 million rand, if you include rollovers, provinces spent 167.8 million rand. Total under expenditure of 38.3 million rand. So those are the spending numbers there. So there are a couple of places, particularly KwaZulu-Natal and Northern Cape, where the spending was not too bad, was actually excellent. But in some of the other provinces, there's quite a bit of money left unspent there. Now, we are awaiting the performance report. Although we have the financial report, we are awaiting the performance report from the National Department of Public Works. And so in the meantime, we, I suppose, can only speculate as to the reasons, but obviously provinces are here to provide feedback in their own stead. During the course of this afternoon, some of the key challenges that we've noted on our side, particularly in our discussions with provincial treasuries in provinces, which is sort of our main interface, obviously, as the national treasury. As I pointed out, the spending in the Eastern Cape, we are still waiting for clarity if the department requires a rollover of these funds, because we didn't get a rollover application. It should be noted that the Department of Social Development in the Eastern Cape, as a department in total, underspent its overall budget by 18 million rand. And almost all of that under expenditure was in the transfers item of the budget, which in other words is about the transfers to NGOs and households, etc. So the number that you see in the previous slide, the 5 million under expenditure, is a subset of quite a big, bigger under expenditure number in the provincial department as a whole. For the Free State, as noted in the previous presentation that we did, there were issues with the health department in the Free State paying beneficiaries at a lower per day level than what is outlined in the framework for the grant. As I pointed out earlier, 60 rands, there was information that the health department was paying 55 rands. We understand that the national department has taken up this matter, but as I said, because we haven't received the quarterly report for the fourth quarter, we're still awaiting feedback as to how that process has unfolded. Gauteng, as everyone knows, the health department in Gauteng has experienced very, very serious problems in respect of, particularly with respect to payments, with huge, massive backlogs to pay service providers as well as NGOs. And so this is something that since the cabinet resolution of December and our work with the department, we're only now starting to catch up to sort out the mess, if you like, with respect to non-payments over the last number of years. And so one of the things that we had recommended was that the department be split into two departments, health and social development, and as I pointed out, that decision has not been taken and that will be done. And that should help, we believe, in the administration of the department, because as you can imagine, health in a province like Gauteng is a massive undertaking. And so to have a combined department is even more difficult. And we think that it will help, now that the departments are separated, to actually manage the process better. There. But we're waiting again for from Gauteng to give us an indication of where we are in terms of fulfilling all the payments in terms of the backlog. But currently the number that we do have, as I pointed out, is that 28.5 million spent there with a 6.4 million under expenditure. With respect to Mpumalanga, there was an issue about submission of reports by the Education Department, where reports were not being submitted on time to the National Department. We, as the National Treasury, had a meeting with the Mpumalanga Treasury last week, Friday, and we highlighted this issue to say that we really need the province to start getting its act together in respect of reporting on what they're doing with the money. Because we can see expenditure, but we want to know what actually is being bought or is being spent with the money and how that is taking place. And so they've gone back to address that matter in addition to what the National Department is doing with the Provincial Department. In respect of the Western Cape, there was an issue that was raised about the way in which the province was paying caregivers. There were inconsistencies. The range of payments per day went from 52 rand all the way to 65 rand. There's different amounts being paid. And so that's something that we picked up from the third quarter report already. And we, as I said, are awaiting feedback from the National Department in terms of the fourth quarter report as to how the engagements which have been taking place between them are going to try and resolve that problem. To conclude, then, from our side, in addition to whatever else will be reported by the colleagues and the provinces and the national department who are here, we've noted a couple of things from the spending side on the numbers. The first one is that you can see that there's very slow spending in the first few quarters, and then it jumps quite significantly in the fourth quarter. Average quarterly expenditure at the end of December 2011 was just under 35 million for this grant. But in the fourth quarter, it went up to 51.3 million. So again, you know, it seems that people, for whatever reason, are not ready to get their, to get things moving, and that takes quite a while. And then all of a sudden, after December and January, you see a big spike in expenditure in the last few months of the financial year, which of course is a concern because the way in which the processes are organized, you know, all of the agreements and all the business plans are supposed to be completed in time for the money to start moving. And so when you have these kinds of delays, it is a concern that in fact the sector is not moving quickly enough to actually start the expenditure. As we've previously said, in order to avoid the delays experienced in this past financial year, it is critical that the National Department adopt a strict approach in respect to finalizing the agreements and business plans, not allowing people to delay and delay things, because that has an impact on the numbers and has an impact on the expenditures we can see. Now, for the purposes of this year, the first scheduled payment for this grant is this Friday, on the 25th of May 2012. An amount of just over 54 million rand is supposed to move. But that amount can only move if the incentive agreements and the business plans are approved and submitted. Now, sitting here today, I haven't seen the plans, so we're quite concerned as to whether or not we're in a position when we get to Friday to actually move the money. and that's very, very critical to get that to happen. So that, from our side, is sort of the major concern going forward, to say that because if we don't do it, then what will happen is you'll have a delay in the transfer. If you have a delay in the transfer, you'll have a delay. It just it backs up for the rest of the year, and then you have exactly the same problem that you had in 2011. So we just wanted to highlight those issues, Chair, with respect to the grant. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sure. Honourable members, I will take Honourable Makuela, Honourable Dipier, Honourable Grant, and Honourable Berger in that order.
Thanks, Chairperson. I had the pleasure of saying that the minimum payment of this, it's about 60 rand. It's not from the minimum. Now you see the Free State is paying 55, Western Cape 60 to 65. What is the maximum payment? It must come from your office. I want that clarity there. Thanks.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you to the National Treasury. When do you start phoning the provinces for the documentation you are waiting for? As you just pictured to us, Friday is the day for money to be shifted. Because in terms of the State of the Nation address, it's a year of implementation. Are we waiting on each other for something to happen, or are we taking the initiative to phone our colleagues in the province and say, speed up, I'm waiting for your business plans. On the Eastern Cape, what answer? And give us the real picture. What answer did you receive from that province? Thank you, Chairperson. Referring to your figures on page 4 at the bottom, the 0%.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, our performance in the Western Cape, I'm speaking only for education, we spent 83% of our budget by the 31st of December, so I don't understand National Treasury's, although it combines health and education together, but as at the 31st of March, we had spent 99.9% of our budget, a shortfall of some 4,310 rand, which will be presented later by Sandra Portain. But to answer the Honourable's question, our business plan and memorandum of agreement has been signed off and sent to National Departments and Public Works already for the new year.
Chairman, I'd like to ask a question about this underspending by Eastern Cape and Western Cape. If you can enlighten me more about it, it's such a great difference. If I look at the other provinces,
thank you, Chair. on the question by Honourable Makuela about the amount, the 60 rands. The 60 rands is at a minimum. So what that means effectively is that the province is allowed to, and in fact encouraged, if it can, to add its own money to that in order to provide whatever within its resources it can. So, it is an incentive, if you like, in the sense that what we're trying to do is we're trying to encourage the provincial departments to more and more push resources towards these programs that have the potential to create these kinds of jobs, if you like, these kinds of opportunities. So really ours is sort of like the floor to say, here is something, but we encourage you to find a way of pushing that up. And we think that that is quite possible, and we think that if you look at the Section 32 publication, as I said, which is now a public document, you can see that the social development departments in provinces, the nine provinces, underspent their budgets. Not necessarily by huge amounts, but there are some amounts that are there that, that appear to be left over. So there is scope for the program to be expanded and for people to expand the this particular program. I think on the question by Honourable De Beer about when do we start phoning the provinces, we actually, the analogy that I can give is we are constantly knocking on the door. In other words, we actually make it very clear, even before the year starts, we start asking and probing, are you ready? It's a continuous thing that we do, basically on a weekly basis. I myself and some of my analysts are constantly checking where we are with some of these things. I think the difficulty is often that what tends to happen is, as I pointed out during February in my briefing then, what tends to happen is you've got line functions in a department, you've got the office of the head of the department, so you've got people who put together the actual physical plan, who actually write down the specifics of it. But then there's a bit of an administrative bureaucratic process where it must then go to somebody, you know, of some authority who must sign it, and then from there it must go to somebody else. So very often what tends to happen is that when you, speaking about the phoning, when you phone to inquire as to what's happening, those are the kinds of stories you get, to say, no, it's moving from this place, and that's where the delay is. You know, so that is often the difficulty with it, and you find that some provinces are faster than others. We note that Western Cape has already submitted theirs, but there are some cases where we're still waiting actually to know what's happening and where it is there. On the issue of the, just to comment on the statement by Honourable Grant about the spending numbers for the Western Cape, and to answer as well the question about the spending number of, for that province, our information is that in fact the challenge there has been with the Social Development Department spending. So I think we acknowledge the fact that on the education side in the Western Cape, things have been fairly good, but on the social development side, we don't know the specific reasons, but we know that that is where that under expenditure emanates from. We've raised the issue of the spending trends in social development in the Western Cape since I think the first meeting we had with the Provincial Treasury in January, to say that we're quite keen to see things pick up there quite a bit more, particularly given some of the issues that that are known, I suppose, in respect of, you know, social welfare issues in the Western Cape. You know, so it's something that we're obviously keeping a watchful eye on to see that, that there be an improvement going forward. With respect to the Eastern Cape spending numbers, that's where it starts getting a bit, I don't know what the word I should use, a bit difficult to get to the bottom of why the numbers look the way that they do. I must be honest, personally I find it difficult to believe that the Eastern Cape has spent nothing. And I am inclined, to be honest, to think that something is not going right with respect to the reporting from the province. Because I just can't believe that it's possible that absolutely no money has been spent. Although, they would have to tell us if that in fact is the case. As I said, it would be astonishing. But I do think that that there is an issue with the reporting from the province. It has been frustrating because what we did after the meeting where we highlighted it for the third quarter, we went down to the Eastern Cape. We had a meeting with the people to try and get to the bottom of what it is there. We noted the fact that there had been an issue with the template or something. There was something about the reporting template and confusion about how it should be used. We offered training to the people because the template is used by all 9 provinces in the country, so it's not as though there's a ghost in the template. But at this stage, we're still waiting for feedback with respect to our offer to assist. But I'm inclined to think, Honourable Becker, that that there is an issue with the reporting in Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Yes, Chairman, I'd like to know why 2 departments are combined. If it's not possible to split them, as in Western Cape, you've got for instance, now that the one department is spending nearly 100%, the other one isn't spending anything.
And it's entirely in the hands of that province cabinet, because that's where that decision lies. But you can note that. It's fine. Let me take Mr. Stanley.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Stanley Anderson. I'm KDG for the PWP at National Public Works. Our presentation, Chair, we are prepared to respond to the letter that we have received from the Select Committee on Appropriations. And we would like to cover in our presentation just a brief overview of the social sector grant as it was implemented in 2011-12. And then we will touch briefly on the provincial grant allocations in the said year. We will furthermore cover performance of the social sector grant in terms of the transfers to provinces, compliance to the Division of Revenue Act, and the outputs according to the outputs. We will also look at the reports that we have received that enable us to reflect on the expenditure on the grant, and then we will lastly cover some conclusions and recommendations. And we have in our delegation here both Kelebogile Setibelo, our Chief Director for Operations, EPRP, and Pearl Lekwagu Mugerwa, Director for the Social Sector. We also have colleagues from the National Department of Social Development with us because it's the lead department for the EPRP social sector. We have Chief Director for Special Projects, Opa Rabashele, here, as well as Keres Kusana, a director with Opa. Karen?
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair.
Just for record and future, we all committees of NCOPs are select committees. Once we are invited by NCOP, you should know it's select committee. Yes. It's not standing, it's not sitting, it's not...
Our humblest apologies. That's an oversight on my side. My humblest apologies.
You come here every day, then.
Honourable Chair, that is noted. We will correct that one. And honourable members, honourable MECs who are present, colleagues from provinces, I'm going to present the performance of the Social Sector Incentive Grant. My presentation covers the following, as alluded by the DDG: the grant 2011-12 in brief, provincial allocations, performance of the Social Sector Grant, and under that is transfers to provinces, compliance to DORA, outputs, achievements, expenditure of the grants, and then we conclude and we also have recommendations. The social sector has entered its 3 year of participating in the incentive since the 2010-11 financial year. In 2011-12, the grant was changed to be social sector EPWP grant to provinces in the DORA 2010. And an amount of 200,358 million was allocated. Why did we receive this grant? So that we can incentivize provincial social sector departments identified in the 2011 social sector EPWP law frame so that we increase job creation by focusing on the strengthening and expansion of social service programs that have got employment potential. These are the outputs of the grant: increased number of people employed and receiving income through the EPWP. We also want to increase the duration of work opportunities created and also increase number of households or beneficiaries to which services are provided and also increase income per EPWP beneficiary. I think this one my colleague from National Treasury has just touched on it to show which were the eligible departments and the amounts allocated to those eligible departments. And I just wanted to flag this one to say this is the allocation per department. Health overall received 117.3 million, social development 44.5 million, education 38 million, and safety and liaison, because they just participated in the grant in the last financial year, 200,000. Performance of the social sector grant to provinces. As public works, we transferred 100% of the total allocation of 358 million by the end of the financial year to those public bodies that were compliant. If you remember, Chairperson, when we were here, we also indicated that there were those provinces that were not compliant, but we engaged them and they became compliant and the entire allocation was transferred to them, and those departments were Western Cape Health, KwaZulu-Natal Department of Social Development, and Free State of Health. Compliance to DORA. Public Works as a transferring department achieve good compliance to the DORA except delayed provincial transfers. Provinces delaying submission of business plans and incentive grant agreements. Only Free State Department of Health and Northwest Social Development and Health Department submitted these requirements on time in the last financial year. And non-compliance to the DORA on certain amounts, I think this one has already been raised to say the other provinces were not paying the correct stipend amounts, but that was subsequently corrected. And also, we experienced a challenge of delayed submission of reports across most provinces. And this is the performance of the social sector. It shows output of the grants stipulated in the conditional grant framework. It shouldn't just be about numbers, because we also look at the full-time equivalent, that is the full FTE, which looks at the duration, because we want to ensure that people work longer in the project. If you look at the provinces, you see that Eastern Cape managed to achieve its full-time equivalent, as well as Western Cape and Northwest and other departments were not very bad. When you look at the target on house, the HH is households that have been serviced, because we need to reach as many households as possible. In terms of the households, the target was to reach 385,186,000 households, but by the end of the financial year, we had reached 286,625 households. In terms of the number of NPOs to be supported or where the money was to be transferred to, our target was 1,467 NPOs, and by the end of the financial year, we managed to reach 1,460 non-profit organizations. In terms of the full-time equivalent, the target was 11,615. These are the beneficiaries. And, you know, it is also as a duration, but we achieved 10,683. This is the analysis that we did from the full-time time achievement. We achieved a minimum of 80% of the grant allocation, and that was utilized to pay the stipends. And as shown in the previous table, on the previous slide, Eastern Cape, Free State, and Northwest achieved the set targets. That is 294,904 and 2,448 respectively. They achieve 100%. The rest of the provinces perform below target, resulting in an overall achievement of 10,683 FTEs, vis-à-vis the target of 11,650. This behavior is attributed to, among other things, delayed beneficiary recruitment resulting in late project start, the attrition in projects, delayed provincial transfers to the projects, and stagnant compilation and late submission of performance and expenditure report for in-year monitoring, that is the IYM purposes. In terms of households, targets were because we need to service as many households as possible. KZN exceeded the target of 107,800 by servicing 115,632 households. Northern Cape matched the target at 1,548. They were at 100%. Gauteng dropped the target by a big margin because they managed to service 9,873 households. The planned target was 165,000, so they did not perform very well. But the rest of the provinces performed marginally below target. To a certain extent, there is a correlation between the challenges that we talked about earlier by provinces, as indicated, and the achievement of the FTEs. Despite these challenges in KZN, the province still managed to reach more households due to the strong home community-based care program management of the Department of Health in the province. That is the non-profit organization support, the NPO. With the grant from the total allocation of 200,358, the provinces, the programs are allowed to use 20% of the grant so that they can strengthen non-profit organization delivery. We've seen with this grant that only 4 out of the 18 funded programs did not utilize this aspect of the grant. Perhaps they were dealing with the NPOs that have capacity, but 14 NPOs did utilize the 20%. And what we've noted is that all sector provincial departments accessing this component of the grant achieved the target for NPOs to be supported using the grant. Only Free State Province did not achieve target due to over-targeting. The provinces adjusted the targets in order to comply in the two areas mentioned above. Chairperson, our report in terms of performance is going to differ from that of National Treasury. If you look at the last column, you will see that with the allocations that have been from the 200,358 million, we were able to spend 190,948, and the total spending is at 90.3%, which is above what was presented by Treasury. And this is the data that we get from provinces. This is the program data. I just want to go to this slide that shows how the provinces have spent. Eastern Cape received 5.070 million. They were able to spend their entire allocation. They are at 100%, not at zero. Gauteng, they spent 86.01% of their total allocation from 34.8 million. The report shows that they've spent 29.9%. Free State, too, they have spent the entire allocation of 15.5 million. They spent the entire amount. KwaZulu-Natal, they spent 97.03% from 30.2 million. They spent 29.3 million. Limpopo also at 88.5%. Mpumalanga at 77.67%. Northern Cape at 97.12%. Northwest at 88.30%. Western Cape, they are sitting at 80.2%. This is the expenditure from the program data that we've received. The following shows that the fourth quarter social sector grant 2011-12, I apologize for the mistake, spending according to the Section 32 of the PFMA as submitted by Provincial Treasury through year-end monitoring. No, this is the report that was presented to, by Treasury to say there is a problem with that because there are these anomalies between our program data and their data. But we just wanted to indicate that the money that was withheld from KZN Department of Social Development, that amount was paid on the 3rd of April. This is what was presented by Treasury. I'm not going to go into that. The report reflects 0% spending in respect of Eastern Cape. I think I should have started with a slide first. I'm reporting on the information that we received from Treasury that it does not correlate to what we have. That's a Treasury report, not Public Works report. I apologize for that. We should have started with a Treasury slide on expenditure and then come with the explanation. Okay. And this is the Treasury report that was presented. And in terms of conclusion and recommendations, some of the challenges experienced throughout the year that impacted on the grant performance and expenditure, they persisted until the end of the fourth quarter. These were the delayed payment of volunteers, the non-profit organization, others, they could not pay volunteers on time due to delayed project transfers by provinces, or late finalization of administrative processes, such as signing service level agreements. We went to KwaZulu-Natal Social Development. We know that they experienced that problem. Western Cape Health and Free State Health were some of the affected departments in this respect. Delays in submission of reports to provincial treasuries, and thus our report with national treasury is still a problem, and that's the non-alignment between treasury and DPW because we get first-hand information from the provinces. Provincial program underfunding resulting in departments seeking to do EPWP only through the incentive grant because you find that the budgets in provinces have been cut, so they depend on this grant so that they can employ volunteers or home community the caregivers. Subsequent to the above, the following measures are in place to deal with the above mentioned challenges because we need to address these challenges. Department, our department, we are working with the Independent Development Trust, that is the IDT, which provides technical support. We've developed a plan to ensure that there is compliant reporting in line with the Section 32 of the PFMA, and we will work with the provincial treasuries. The Independent Development Trust will deploy financial managers in sector departments periodically to assist eligible public bodies to reconcile and submit grant expenditures of their programs to their respective CFOs in line with the in-year monitoring reporting requirements. We have developed a clear grant management plan to ensure efficient monitoring of this grant. And also, the capacity is available in the EPWP Monitoring and Evaluation Unit. We've got the Modeling and Incentive Directorate. And what we've done, we are going to work with the various departments at national and at provincial level. And also, we've deployed EPWP social sector coordinators who, in their work plans now, have clear indicators to ensure that they manage the implementation of the grant in 2012-13. Honorable Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much, National Public Works. I want to allow members to ask questions, but I'm struggling to understand how you operate with National Treasury.
Yeah.
Because there seems to be a competition between yourself, but it's not helping because you're not talking to one another.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm saying so because you pick up the problem with regard to those figures long before this meeting. And I would have expected that you touch base with Treasury and say, your report says zero from Eastern Cape, we've got these figures. But at the same time, I've always been under the impression that your source of this report is one person. It will always be the DG or TDG of the department in the province, who report to both Treasury and to both. But in this instance, it would seem that your sources are not the same. Treasury sources give them wrong information or right, and then you also get information from elsewhere which is wrong or right. We don't know. Now, perhaps you must tell us what is happening between you and National Treasury. We are one government, remember. Yeah.
Honorable Chair, I think when we got this invitation, we indicated to Treasury, we bounced our information together, and we indicated that there's still a discrepancy with the figures. Like they said, they've got the preliminary report, but we've got the final program information from the program managers in the provinces. So I think our time did not allow us just to...
So you get your reports from program
straight managers? From the program managers.
Treasury, you get from what?
They get from program.
Our information, Honorable Chair, is signed by the Chief Financial Officers of Departments, the Head of the Provincial Treasury, and as I previously indicated, all signed documents are stored in our archives with the signatures of those individuals, and these are the numbers that they reflect.
And then what does Section 32 say we should sign off on this report in terms of the existing...
The accounting officer is responsible for signing off. That's why we require the accounting officer. We don't ask program managers, etc. We ask the accounting officer to submit, to sign off on the reports, and those are the reports that we use.
Honorable De Beer, Honorable Kurela,
Honorable De Beer. It's been the last time that this happens. This government is running this country now for 18 years. After 18 years, we can't allow this. If that is the prescription National Treasury has laid for reporting, the same prescription must apply to the National Department receiving reports from provinces signed off by the HOD and the Chief Financial Officer with the dates, and CC it to Treasury, and Treasury's report that I received CC it to the Director General of this department. It's mind-boggling how this operation is done. I can't figure this thing out. You will have to look at it. You are here today. You can sort it out today. You are in the same room. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we are on the same page where you put the first question, also coupled with by Honorable De Beer. My question is on slide number 8, that one of failing to choose one, the output performance analysis, the FTE, target achievement. Bullet number 32. You are saying they have given all at 10,000, they didn't reach the 11,000. Did they give reasons why? Was the reason given? This also applies to slide number 9. The Houghton who dropped, so you said the performance dropped by a big margin. What was the explanation by the Houghton? Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. We can sort of discuss and debate the question of why the figures don't tie up, but that doesn't really answer the question about what the actual figures are. I mean, we hear that the one set of figures are signed off by the accounting officer. And so one would assume that those are the correct ones. But it's very difficult to have a discussion when we have no trust in the figures. However, may I ask, if this is the case, there seems to be a transfer from National Treasury to the National Department to the Provincial Treasury, and the Provincial Treasury to the User Department. So there are a number of transfers in this process. And so I assume that when National Treasury talk about Friday, that's a complete transfer of the annual funds or quarterly amount, or what the business plan you say you're waiting for. You get the business plan, which is an annual plan, I assume. Then what triggers the amount that actually gets transferred? And then the same question goes to National Department of Public Works. I mean, what triggers your payment to the province? And I assume that's to Provincial Treasury. And then we don't have Provincial Treasury here. What triggers that payment? So this flow of funds is far more complicated, it seems to me, than simply who's signing off and who isn't signing off, and where the money is actually lying right now and whose bank account, and has it been spent or hasn't been spent. Chairman, I'm curious about, in terms of that, those triggers and payments, there was a point made by Public Works in terms of what a compliant provincial public body is. I just need a bit more elaboration. What does it mean to be compliant or non-compliant? Compliant with what? That seems to have been a blockage to payment at some stage. If I can get an explanation on that.
Thanks. That also, if you could explain this to how many business plans for this financial aid have you received from which province? And I would also be interested now to know your source in terms of those business plans. Are you still communicating with the project manager insofar as business plans are concerned, or you get that from where?
Honorable Chair, the business plans that we get from provinces and the incentive agreements are signed by the HODs of the eligible departments. I think Pearl can just give the numbers of the business plans that you've received.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. My name is Pearl Lukwago Mugerwa. I am responsible for this conditional grant from the Department of Public Works. We have, for 2012-13, we have identified 22 public bodies in provinces as eligible for the grant. To date, we have received the 22 incentive grant agreements, and 16 business plans. The 6 business plans that are outstanding are in the provincial treasury. These are the business plans that have been identified as a requirement together with the incentive grant for a public body to be able to receive its first tranche. This is in terms of the DORA. So what happens is these business plans get compiled by the respective programs in the respective public bodies. Then they will take them through the administrative processes of endorsement. It is a requirement by the National Treasury that the business plans are endorsed first by the head of the department that is eligible for the grant, and then they are endorsed by the provincial treasury as well. Hence, then there will be the administrative processes, the steps to be followed. Now, the departments have done their part. All the departments, the 16 business plans have been submitted to the National Department of Public Works, and they have proved to be in line with the requirements, which requirements are stating what is the purpose, what are the full-time equivalent, all of that. Then, the treasuries then are still supposed to sign. They are not retained. The incentive grant agreement have been developed by the National Treasury, I mean National Department of Public Works. They have been fostered with the provincial departments that are eligible. Their legal units have looked at them. They satisfied themselves. There was a lot of toing and froing between Department of Public Works and those departments until the business plans were satisfactory on both sides. So we have got all of those. But the unfortunate part is that the agreements cannot be taken to the DG of the Department of Public Works National for endorsement if the business plans are not there. So we have managed only to submit the ones that have complied in terms of ensuring that they submit both the business plans and the incentive grant agreement that are duly completed and that are compliant with all the necessary stipulations in them. So those are being, the 16 are being signed by now the DG of the National Department of Public Works, and the others we are still awaiting submission of the business plan. So the DG of Public Works will, after she has signed those incentive grant agreements, sign a compliance certificate as well, which is also part and parcel of the DORA requirement, that she must confirm that the departments that she is incentivizing have met, you know, or have fulfilled the requirements in terms of, you know, submitting those business plans and all of that. Then we will send those business plans thereafter to the National Treasury to authorize or to be aware that we're going to authorize payment to the departments and provinces.
Are you saying all provinces now have submitted? Is that a case?
Honorable Chair, I'm saying all provinces and all the respective departments that are eligible have submitted incentive grant agreements. But of the 22, 16 have submitted business plans. The others are still awaiting endorsement at the provincial treasury.
For me, don't complicate it. If for an example, all what I want to hear from you, if for an example, provinces are expected to submit those incentive agreements plus business plans together. How many have done that and how many have not yet done that? Yes. Irrespective of the reasons thereof. Because I'm asking this because you hear Treasury says they must transfer money on Friday, but they can't because they don't have that information. Mm-hmm. And you are saying you've got that information, which is another problem. You are sitting with it, it makes it difficult for Treasury to also do it, and provinces will lag behind. But all I'm asking, have provinces complied with the division of revenue insofar as plans are concerned?
Honorable Chair, we are incentivizing 22 public bodies in all 9 provinces. 16 of those have submitted the 2 sets. And 6 of those have submitted 1, which is the incentive grant agreement. The 6 business plans that are supposed to match the 6 incentive grant agreements are in provincial treasury.
I'm going to answer it the way I want it, unfortunately. Out of that 22, we've got 9 provinces, right? We've got only 9 provinces. We don't have 22. We've got 22. You might find that in other provinces, 2, in other is 1, in other is 3, in other. All I wanted to know, which provinces have complied and which ones have not complied as we speak now? That's the question. Don't be general.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Pardon me. The business plans that are still outstanding submission to Public Works are Eastern Cape Social Development, Eastern Cape Health, KZN Community Safety, Limpopo Health, Mpumalanga Education, and Mpumalanga Community Safety. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Chair, thank you. Let me respond to some of the questions.
Just one point. Whilst we are still on there, I want to understand, because you said now in terms of this plan, your source is the accounting officer, who is the HOT. But when coming to actual work, you don't get reports from the accounting officer. You get them from project managers down the line. Now, I would assume those HODs would have delegated those you have letters of authority that you can go direct to those from those provincial heads of department. Because sitting here as politicians, we know that the accounting officers are the ones who are supposed to account. Now, you go into project managers, I wonder as to how correct would that information be, and if you are to do it on all the grants that you manage, it will be an administrative nightmare. If everybody now can just report direct to Mishnah, what is the situation with regard to that?
Chair, we acknowledge that there's been a challenge and we take that into cognizance so that we comply to the PSA. But the situation, Chair, if I may explain, they are not signed by the HOD. The report,
yes.
But we get the past
but,
report
but what,
from provinces.
What gives them, what gives you the authority to accept those reports when they are not from the right source? That's the question. Why do you allow that?
Chair, it's because sometimes they are accompanied by the bus reports that shows the expenditure. But I think in future we need to take the advice of the committee that they must be signed off by the HODs in provinces.
Mr. Bloom?
Thank you very much. Just a follow-up on that. How are we sure that that report is legitimate? It does not come from somewhere else. You see, Chairperson, the questions that you are asking from the start, I personally, I think that we are going in a circle now, because now we are dealing with reports that was not properly submitted. That is the crux of the whole thing.
Okay, let me give you a chance to respond to all other questions so that we move on to accommodate the two MECs who are here and other departments. We'll reflect on this anomaly.
Thank you, Honorable. And I think the issue that was asked by Honorable Chair on the full-time equivalent that we did not manage to achieve the target, we did not manage to reach the target, it is because of the late start of the program. Because if you start late, the duration becomes shorter. So it affects your full-time duration. And the what triggers payment to provinces, because the money is appropriated on the Department of National Public Works, once we receive the business plans and the grant agreements, then we send the letters to National Treasury, who will then communicate with the provincial treasuries, and then that triggers the payment to flow to provinces. And the issue of compliance, when you talk about compliance, we talk about paying the right stipend amount and also to comply to the conditions that are stipulated in the DORA, and also to be able to report on time and to be able to achieve your targets. That's what we talk about, compliance. And also the EPWP compliance, when we look at EPWP compliance, we also look at the equity targets, whether the program has been able to reach the young people, the people with disabilities, and also the women target. We also look at those equity targets, whether the program has been able to reach that. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. And Pelo will take the issue of how they. Dropping of the target by a big margin. Honorable Chair, I don't know, maybe I will be, may I be allowed to explain our business planning process, which leads to the point where we identify and agree targets. For purposes of this incentive grant, we engage provinces immediately an allocation has been announced, wherein each province has to prepare the business plan. The business plan has got, among other critical elements, the need. A province has to state the number of full-time equivalents that
is going to be created utilizing the allocation, the number of households as beneficiaries that are going to be reached utilizing this incentive grant, and the number of NPOs. This has got to be, you know, determined upfront. So Gauteng obviously set themselves a very big target in terms of the number of households that they were going to use, I mean to reach, utilizing the caregivers who were going to be funded using this incentive grant. So then it happened during the course of the year they started experiencing problems, and in came in also their challenge that they were experiencing with the National Treasury, which led to somehow a moratorium on the utilization of their budgets and everything. Then the finance unit in the Department of Health became very strict in terms of allowing the budgets to flow from the province to the projects. That's the report we received. And then this led then to the delayed service delivery, the execution of service delivery. Hence, they ended up not expending even the whole allocation, one, and then they ended up not reaching out to all the households, the number of households that was planned. That's what happened in sum. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to comment on the observation by Honourable Lisa about the transfer process, because I think it is important. It is true that there are a number of moving parts in it, and therefore there is a possibility that one of the moving parts can, if there can be blockages. Just to briefly explain, the way that it works is, if I speak about the transfer amount on the 21st of May on Friday, what we do is we give the money to the national department. So what happens is that there is a national drawing schedule, so the money is already with the national department. So that we cut ourselves out of the picture from a transfer perspective in order to avoid a delay. We say to them, look, this money has already been appropriated by Parliament, so we're going to put it there for you. If, however, the conditions are not met, then it's held at that point. But if they are met, then obviously it can flow from that place. Now, there is then a provincial payment schedule. As members will be aware, the Division of Revenue Act requires that there be a payment schedule. And that is designed to assist with this issue about whether or not people get the money, etc., on time and things like this. Because the payment schedule says, this is how much money each province is going to get from each grant on this day. It's a huge spreadsheet with every single number down to the last 1,000 rand that must be transferred to anybody and everybody. And that is how we, first of all, make sure that the money flows on at that particular point in time. If the money does not flow at that particular point in time, the National Department needs to, in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, inform the National Treasury as to the reasons there. Or in cases where a provincial treasury is sitting with the money and not transferring it to the provincial department, that would also constitute a violation of the payment schedule, and we also should be informed. And in that instance, of course, we contact the heads of provincial treasuries directly to say, look, something is not right, this needs to be sorted out. I think the most important thing, therefore, in that respect is information. One of the things that obviously does make it difficult on the reporting side with respect to the numbers can also be when the payment schedule is not complied with. So if you can imagine a situation, for instance, where a payment is due, like this one, is due in May, on the 25th of May, but for whatever reason, it's made in June, then what's going to happen is the report for May, there's going to be a discrepancy, because somebody's going to say, no, well, I've already spent the money, but not at the end of May. So that is sometimes what can happen, is that. Now, I mean, obviously, like for instance, I noted in the presentation of Public Works, if you make a transfer in April that was supposed to be made in the previous financial year in March, then again, that is another reason why the numbers will not be the same, because we've taken the numbers as at March. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that one has to manage, because the reports are drawn at a particular point in time. There's an axe that falls, if you like. And that is the perspective from which we take it in terms of the reporting. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'll just take 1 minute to say I was going to state that we have already discussed with the Department of Public Works Finance Unit to submit to National Treasury a notification that we are running behind the payment schedule in terms of paying provinces on the 25th based on the few reasons I stipulated earlier on. But also to say our payment of the province KZN DSD by the 3rd of April was still within the right time frame in terms of Section 32 of the DORA, because the provincial treasuries are supposed to compile their in-year monitoring and submit to National Treasury by the 15th of the next month after the end of the month. So we were still within the right time frame. There is no, it should have appeared in the financial report.
Discrepancies between the two departments, two national departments, and the fact that your sources are not the same, which also question the credibility of your department, Public Works. You see, like Honorable Lee said, it's quite difficult, particularly even to know that you sourced that information from the wrong people. But we'll note that and allow MEC Majordina from Eastern Cape to table their report, and followed by Western Cape. I hope that we're not going to have further discrepancies. The provinces that are here. Ma'am, the floor is yours.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Good afternoon to honorable members and to all officials from National Treasury as well as National Department of Public Works, and my colleague MEC from Western Cape. Chair, let me thank this opportunity, but also concur with the report from National Department of Public Works that indeed we have spent our 100%, and we do have confirmation from, you know, our provincial treasury that was sent to NDPW as well as to the National Treasury. So I fully agree that there is a problem in terms of how they integrate their reports, hence that is confusing the select committee. Chair, we have submitted the report with that outline. The purpose of this report is to give account, or my name is Pemi Majordina. The purpose of this report is to give account on the fourth quarter spending by the Department of Social Development and Special Programs in the province of the Eastern Cape on the expanded public works program. One of the amendments of the EPWP second phase is the introduction of a wage incentive grant with intent to maximize creation of work opportunities by providing a financial performance award. Bullet 3 of National Treasury is very clear on that. The National Treasury has allocated 244.3 million as an incentive grant to EPWP social sector national and provincial programs for 2011-12. The Department of Social Development and Special Programs has received a total allocation of 5.7 million transferred via provincial treasury as a conditional grant of 436,000 as a social infrastructure grant to accelerate the expansion of job creation efforts in order to attain the achievement of EPWP targets whilst promoting service delivery targets. The department has received a fourth round down payment to an amount of 750,000, which was transferred in February 2012. This grant targeted 285 community caregivers rendering services to 17 home community-based care projects and was utilized for the payment of stipends and administration costs only. Chair, on that table, we are breaking down as to say what is that we have done. Indicator, number of HCPC caregivers receiving stipend from the grant, as well as program made and budget. So I don't want to order the committee to go through all that, but on the social infrastructure, number of organizations assisted in the infrastructure support, four additional HCPC projects received financial support, creating 82 work opportunities, amounting to that 536,000, which was for social infrastructure. And those four additional HCPC are reflected on my next presentation on page 8. Chair, those are the organizations that we have funded, number of beneficiaries as well as amount transferred. Allow me not to read them, Chair, because they are in black and white. But this we did in order to support our statement that we have indeed paid or used or utilized our 100% grant. They are our projects are mainly in Amatole region, as well as Nelson Mandela, Chris Hani, Alfred Nzo, O.R. Tambo, and Joe Gabi. The last page of page 11, the last district, page 11, is Joe Gabi. That is where we are accounting on all those districts and the transfers that were made. The above table reflects the social infrastructure allocation to an amount of 450,000 to mark the mark creation of work opportunities in line with EPWP. The following organization received a once-off payment benefiting 82 caregivers with effect from December 2011 to March 2012. The Department of Social Development and Special Programs has achieved the objective of the grant and has created a total of 367 work opportunities in line with EPWP program. There is an annex chairperson that also give evidence that the conditional grant was sent, the first tranche and the second tranche, to those NGOs or NPOs that are listed. You'll find that one NGO might appear twice because the first tranche was transferred as well as the second tranche. Chairperson, the incentive grant brought a lot of relief to the province, especially that everybody knows that Eastern Cape is one of the provinces that is poverty stricken, and the fact that we have spent 100%, we think that we really have to be considered in terms of increasing the grant because it has brought a lot of relief. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Muntisi, Honorable Liz, Honorable Muntisi.
No, Chair, I just wanted to check very quickly on the various amounts. The various amounts given to the respective NGOs in this instance, in the various districts. My question is whether this amount reflected here, the NGO in district. Are they as a result of the need or the size of the organization with respect to the beneficiaries that it assists. I'm looking at the various the various metros, I mean districts, and then I'm trying to look at the figures. So one district would be getting more than the other district. So my question is it the question of one district having more NGOs which are in need, or is it the number of the beneficiaries in the various NGOs that makes the department to allocate more and less to others? Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chairman, there's another report that was handed out to us, which appears to be a list of payments made during the fourth quarter. It's a two-page report, and it shows payment dates and amounts, and it amounts to $3.5 million. So I assume that's payments during the fourth quarter. The annual grant, if you include the $536,000, was $5.6 million. So some, I haven't worked out the exact percentage, but mentally I would say probably in the region of 60 to 70% of those funds were paid out in the fourth quarter. So some 30 to 40% must have been paid out before the fourth quarter. Over a period of three quarters of the year, and yet National Treasury don't have a single cent. So that's the one strange thing. The second is, if so much of the money was paid out in the fourth quarter, what happened in the first three quarters of the year? Did those organizations that have been funded just not get any money, or did, you know, it's in part it's a similar question to Honourable Montsiti. Because there seems to be a rush to pay the money out in the fourth quarter, and one wonders whether, how efficiently it was paid. But I assume there was a business plan, and the business plan was followed and was approved by everyone. National Treasury answered my question with regard to the payment trail, but the emphasis seems to be on blockages rather than on spending. And what I was heading towards is that if we look again at Eastern Cape, where the spending seems to have been predominantly in the fourth quarter, so there must have been cash in the bank through the year. When I talk about a trigger, the trigger of the business plan, that's the authorization, but what actually triggers the payment? Is it not that you have actually spent some of your money, or perhaps you get the first quarter's tranche, but you don't get the second quarter's tranche until you've actually spent the first quarter's tranche? Or do you just get it because you've done your business plan and all your targets and everything in place, and so you just, on a quarterly basis, you get the money, whether it's been spent, the previous quarters has been spent or not? It seems to me that's the way it works, but I'm jumping to conclusions. So National Treasury, I understand how you deal with the money. I'm not quite sure how the transfer goes down the line, what triggers those actual payments. Because if I look at the schedule, it's they're random amounts, and I was trying to sort of find the same name of organization appearing more than once, and I think Esilindi, the Community Health Organization, got two payments in this quarter. And I think you'll find that there are a number. So, how does that happen? I'm afraid I don't understand. Thanks, Mr.
Emerson.
Chair,
thank you very much for the questions from honorable members. Honourable Member, it depends on the number of beneficiaries in a particular district. That is why the amounts are varying. on the questions by Honourable Liz. I want to state categorically that there was no spending on the first quarter because the first transfer that we received as a province from the provincial treasury was only in June. Then we started spending in July. Then the second transfer that we received was in February. This is why now you see a lot of spending in the first quarter. Thank you very much.
Well, I that's also perhaps if I could be assisted, Mr. Sishin.
Yes.
What informs these allocations? Does National Treasury make this allocation on the basis of business plans that you receive from provinces? Or is there any formula that you use to arrive in terms of, or do you use population figures? I just don't understand that.
Chair, the information with respect to the allocation, if you're talking about the budget and the way the budget is split across the nine provinces, that is on the basis, as I stated in my presentation, of the model that's used by the National Department of Public Works. In other words, it's actually from Public Works that we get the information that says that on the basis of the past performance of this provincial department, this is what they are eligible for, if I can simplify it like that. So that is not so much determined by us, it's determined by the performance information as submitted by the National Department.
Is that the case, Public Works? No, I'm asking National Public Works, not the province.
Yes, that's true.
So the fact that Eastern Cape is getting less has got something to do with you, not with anybody else.
Has to do with the performance of the province the previous financial year because.
So it has to do with themselves?
It is the performance based allocation, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay. Well, it's fine. Honorable Bloom?
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to check something on the figures. Mm-hmm. On the figures. Yeah. You see, some of the figures are almost the same. The allocation here. Yeah. You see, 84,497. I think it's thrice here. Yeah. Now I want clarity. How did they reach this figure? You see, sometimes, Chair, and I don't want to go into that, but sometimes it can be a cut and paste a business. Yes. Yeah. That's why you see I will count. This 84. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. Now maybe I can get a clarity. It's not only the 84. It's not only the 84. You see the 88 and the 80. You see, I just need clarity on that one.
You may clarify now.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Chair. I just want to explain that you'll find that in certain organisations they have an equal number. For instance, as it was mentioned earlier on, that we're giving 60 rand per caregiver per day, which amounts to 1,200. So you'll find that at 84, all those organizations, they have an equal number of beneficiaries, which are caregivers. Which means if you times that 84, you take your 80% for the stipend and you are left with the 20%, you'll find that the number is the same. If you take one organization that's got 19 HCPCs, the other one is also having 19. It's not cut and paste.
Satisfied or
okay.
It can't be. I won't believe that organizations can have the same amount of beneficiaries. I don't believe that, honestly.
I earlier on understood the MEC to be saying in a situation where they appear double payment.
another would have been for the previous quarter, but only honored in the last quarter.
Yes, Chair. For instance, if I may take members to page 7 and 8. In page 7 of the presentation, if you look at Amathole, Likhaya Lethemba HID, number of beneficiaries are 19. If you look at Buffalo City, Sakisizo Community, number of beneficiaries are 19. If you turn over to page 8, number of beneficiaries are 19 at Ngadu, and therefore you'll have equal amount in terms of transfers because they have the same number of beneficiaries. That is where the Honourable Member is saying they are, the figures look the same, as well as on page 9, you have that 19, because those are number of beneficiaries that are there. You have number of beneficiaries that are 20, others are 18. That is their business plan and the beneficiaries that are there in that particular NGO. Thank you.
Honourable Liz.
Chairman, the MEC is digging itself into a hole over here, I'm afraid, because if you look at your where you referred us now, the amounts transferred are completely different. For 119, let's look at Buffalo City, 253,000. Norma, sorry, that's not 19. Amalati, 168,000. So now the same number of beneficiaries, but different amounts. So, you know, so it's not helping, I'm afraid, MEC.
Honourable Bloom?
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't know this document. You see, conditional grant form. But, you see, on page 2, this one, 19. I'll take the 19 one. 19 is the same. 20 or 6. If you go through the beneficiaries, you will see that 19 is 253. 19, yeah, is 168.
That's what Honourable Lee was also indicating.
You understand? Mm. Now, how is it possible?
Chair?
Yes, ma'am?
May I explain that the other figure reflects the total allocation for that particular organization, and the other figure will reflect the payment that was made for the organization. The annual figure would be, for instance, if you take the 19, the annual figure would be 168,995. And then if you look at the schedule, the other one that shows the figures, is the amount that was transferred for this quarter. So that's why there will be disparity. Because in other cases, they will receive two tranches, and in other cases, they will receive one tranche, and in other cases, they will receive three tranches at a go.
So in other words, if you were to table an annual record, so the four quarters, in instances where on the last quarter you would make double payment, it will show that the third quarter it was zero. Mm-hmm. Nothing was spent or transferred to that organization. And so on and so on. Which then comes to that question of Honorable Liz as to, in a situation where you were unable to transfer to those organizations, what happened to them? They were left to struggle on their own until...
No, Chair, they will continue, because when they got their first payment, which was made only in the second quarter, as it was mentioned by the MEC, that we only got the first drawdown in June. So the first payment was made only in July, which is the second quarter. They were continuing with the services and they got their money. That's why you find that they will get the double payment, because the service was there. doesn't mean that the organization was not operational.
No, no, you see the issue here, ma'am, is that most of these organizations, particularly the NPOs, depend largely on this amount. Now, if they had run services for the first month without any payment, and you only give payment the second month, the third month or the second quarter or the third quarter, there's no amount coming. Logic will tell you that they are going to suffer that particular month. And if they don't receive money, what suffers is services that they render to the people. That's where the issue of performance comes in, which, because I would imagine a province as big as Eastern Cape, you're supposed to be next to KZN in terms of these conditional grants allocations, if we were performing well. But now your report tells us that you still continue to perform badly, because there are quarters where these NPOs whose life depends largely on the grants, go 3 months without even a cent, and only to receive double the following month. You see? Because it involves payment of people who are supposed to render this kind of service that we are talking about. Yes, those that are well off, that have saved a lot, will continue, but the strength of all these organizations that work with you are not the same. I'm sure we'll agree on that one. Given the rural nature of your province as well, that is a point that we want to stress. So that when you live here, we would want to assist us to build a strong case for Eastern Cape to get more. But with this kind of performance, really, I don't see us being able to do that.
Another thing, Chair, is that before we transfer funds to the NGOs, they are supposed to submit the progress reports where they will be stipulating their spending patterns. So if the NGO has not spent their funds, they won't be getting the money. So that is another issue.
Yeah, but you still have got a responsibility to monitor them, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we are quite aware that some of this organization needs to be carried by hand. We need to help them. Hence your monitoring and oversight comes in as a department. But if you say, no, they are not complying, you are not helping the situation. You're waiting for them when they are extremely hungry, coming with documents now and present. That's not what you want to encourage as politicians, you see. And would want you as officials to have the same understanding as we do in terms of how this grant should be rolled out. Ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, you are spot on. What we have done during our first plan is to establish a EPWP unit that is going to give full support to NGOs in terms of ensuring that they submit on time so that they don't suffer in terms of transfers. That we have noted, Chair, and I fully agree with you that this shouldn't have happened, but the reality is that there was no clear monitoring in terms of ensuring that they are given the support that is needed. But thank you very much, Chair, for that.
Thank you. We need to move on. Honorable Montis.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, Chairperson, the only thing that I'm asking for is if the figures could be consistent and be able to assist us so that we are able to see how the allocations are made. If you take on page 7, if you take the district Amatole under Nguma, it's 20, those 20 beneficiaries, and the allocation is 1178. And then you go to page 10. Page 10. You can start at the bottom at OR. At the border, it's 20, and the figures are the same, 1178. You go to
Kungu, it's 20 beneficiaries. The figures are the same. 1178. And then you go to Matatiel, 18 is 240. And then you go to the 20 above is 266 and so on. So all I was saying is if there is the consistency that will be able to say there's a specific criteria, you see, that will be very helpful. Because at this point in time, you don't pick up a certain criteria that is consistent throughout the allocation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Muntisi. And perhaps, Honorable MEC, just before we go to Western Cape, I would want to get commitment from you that you will make sure when you arrive in the province that your project manager stop reporting. He must report to the HOD of the department, not to Stanley and his team. That's not how things should happen. So those reports that he prepared, they must go to the HOD, and then the HOD sign them off and send to Treasury and to this department. Now, because Treasury is sitting there with 0000 all through until now, and I'm sure you'll appreciate the impact of these reports when they reach cabinet, because at cabinet level, we are not there, you are not there. You can't speak for themselves. Still is not there, you can't speak. They'll be deliberating on the report as tabled by the Minister of Finance, period. So, I think we've got the same understanding with Public Works, that you don't bring to us reports that you source anywhere else except from HODs signed by them as per the stipulated requirements. Thank you for your understanding and cooperation in that regard. Mr. Stanley.
Thank you, Chair. We do hear what you say, and we will, in some cases, of course, the HODs would have delegated the responsibility, but it's up to us to produce the letter of delegation. We hear that loud and clear, and we will certainly do that when we report to you in future. There's one other matter that the Honourable Lees...
I don't believe that, because when I ask the same question 30 minutes ago, you are unable to answer it. Now all of a sudden, you are in position to indicate what happens and what else. Please, proceed anyway.
One can never lie to Parliament, and we will not lie to Parliament.
No, I never said you are lying.
There's one other issue that the Honourable Lees raised with regard to what triggers payments. And we have made a presentation at the previous sitting. I don't know whether you would like us to go through the process in terms of what triggers payment. If you would allow us, we can certainly do that. If not, we would like to refer the Honourable Lees back to the previous presentation, where there was a detailed outline in terms of the process and the flow and what will trigger what to happen, right from from DORA right up to the point that it should be reaching the implementing bodies. Yes.
You wanted to say something, MEC, before I pass?
Yes. Chair, you have my commitment, but I think National Department of Public Works as well as Treasury, they must be able to communicate one message to us. Because we end up being teared apart that you report this side and that side. I think it's very much important that whenever they receive reports, they must be able to share such reports. For instance, this issue that we have not submitted, social development and health in the Eastern Cape, I know for the fact that my HOD signed off the application and the business plan on the 24th of April. It was submitted to Treasury on the 28th of April. I'm surprised to hear that we have not submitted. So I'm saying the issue of lack of reporting and how they integrate such reports when they get reports is very much important. But, Chair, I will take up the matter. Thank you very much for your advice.
Thank you, ma'am. MEC Grant.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon to the Honourable Members, colleagues, all protocol observed. Chair, the Superintendent General is out of town on business, but I'm joined by Sandra Fortain of the WCED, as well as Tim Nzuzu. And let me share with the committee that Sandra Fortain joined the department in 1971. So she's got over 40 years of experience, and I'm looking forward to her speaking to our presentation this afternoon. Thank you.
Maybe excuse Chair, I'm still going to the Eastern Cape and coming back tomorrow for the NSOP debate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Committee Members, MEC, colleagues, all protocol observed. It is indeed a pleasure for me to present Western Cape Education Department a report, first term report on the incentive grant. The process followed, as per the explanation by Sandy, a business plan had to be prepared. We also had a service level of agreement between our HOD that was signed and signed off by Provincial Treasury, which was sent up to the Department of Public Works. So within our business plan, we have identified certain project outcomes. Firstly, to increase job creation through the expansion of social sector EPWP programs. Secondly, to provide early childhood development or ECD practitioners with career pathways and opportunities. And thirdly, to improve the quality of teaching and learning in the Department of Social Development and Western Cape Education Department's registered ECD public and independent schools. In other words, the sites that offer tuition and care for children birth to four, that is the Department of Social Development, and in the case of Western Cape Education Department, our focus is the grade R class. The strategy, we looked at the unemployed youth, unemployed persons, women, disabled within the communities. We looked at a database of Department of Labor where people had registered that were looking for job opportunities. We also asked our training service providers, who are the FET colleges, if they had a database. And so we identified 648 unemployed persons with a passion for early childhood development and who would benefit from training in ECD as ECD practitioner assistants. And then we also identified 8 unemployed matriculants who needed training and experience to improve their computing skills and assist them to find permanent employment as data capturers. So that was the one part of our strategy. The selection criteria for the beneficiaries, as I alluded to earlier, we looked at women, the youth, disabled, and our beneficiaries were selected from both urban and rural areas. The beneficiaries would be working with the young children and should therefore be suitable to do so in terms of the Children's Act. So for our project achievement for the 2011-2012, I'm happy to report that we gave 648 unemployed persons the opportunity as ECD practitioners, practitioner assistants. They completed a 10-month Level 1 ECD skills program, and the 8 unemployed persons who were trained as technical admin support staff or data capturers, they were given the opportunity to improve their computing skills, like additional skills in basic Word. We took them up to intermediate and MS Word, the same with Excel. Still regarding the monthly project achievement, We have to submit monthly progress reports on the training of ECD practitioner assistants. That is the FET colleges before any transfer payments are made. So they need to give us attendance registers of the 648, the monthly report on progress in terms of the training, the unit standards completed. These reports are then presented at a provincial expanded public works program reference team meeting, as well as stakeholder meetings. And presentations are done at the monthly provincial social sector meeting. The project manager, EPWP, in the province, as well as head office staff, we do quarterly monitoring and evaluation. And the purpose of this is to ensure that there is quality training or the delivery of quality training at all FET college campuses. The 648 practitioner assistants, they volunteer at an ECD site for 4 days a week so that they can gain valuable experience and also to apply the skills that they have acquired or the things that they've learned at college to apply that at the ECD site. So 4 days a week they offer their services at the ECD center, and on the fifth day they attend a training session at the FET colleges. The course that they did for the 10 months, it was an accredited course based on SAQUA accredited unit standards for the General Education and Training Certificate, ID number 71751. The material was developed. It was approved by the ETDP CETA, and currently the ETDP CETA is verifying the results of the 648 ECD practitioner assistants who started the program. This is just the distribution of the 648 by colleges. False Bay, they had 144 beneficiaries. College of Cape Town, 90. Northlink College, 90 as well. Boland College, 144. South Cape College, 90. West Coast College, 90. And just to clarify that the reason why False Bay and Boland each had 144 was the number of campuses they have. Boland College, for example, has a campus in Strand, in Caledon, in Paarl, in Wellington, in Stellenbosch, so they have a large area. And the same with False Bay, they have the Khayelitsha campus, and there they had quite a number of beneficiaries. Khayelitsha, Mitchell's Plain, as well as the Musenberg campus. Stipends. In accordance with the ministerial determination, the daily wage of 60 rand was adhered to, and each of the 648 ECD practitioner assistants received a monthly stipend of 1,200 for the duration of the course. The 8 technical admin support staff each received a monthly stipend of 3,000 rand for the contract period of 12 months, starting 1st April, ending 31st March. According to our finance department, our allocation was 8,070 mil. And our expenditure as at 31st December was 6,703,090, which was an 83%, which was spent, balance of 1.3 mil. And then as at the end of March, 31st March, the amount that was spent was 8,065,690, a total of 99.9%, which was spent, and there's a balance of only 4,310 rand. Okay, the challenges we were faced, because there were many, even though the FET colleges had conducted thorough screening assessments, there were still learners who had dropped out of the learnership. Some of the reasons for the dropouts were they were offered permanent employment elsewhere, the stipend was insufficient to cover all the expenses, especially in the rural areas. The learners had to withdraw due to ill health. We also had some, we had two learners who had passed away, and also pregnancy. Learners could not cope with the expectations of the skills program, because the skills program was level one, so the academic requirement was a minimum of grade 10 in order to access the level one skills program, and they battled to get, especially if it was the medium of instruction which differed from their home language. Now, in total, there was a dropout of 21, and that percentage, my apologies, is actually incorrect. It's 0.32%, not 32%. It's 21 out of the 648 which dropped out. So it's 0.032%. And then, one more challenge that we found, honourable members, was the reporting, the web-based reporting, but we have been assured by the Department of Public Works that that would be an area that would be looked at. In fact, they have already started training us in using the new web-based reporting system. I thank you.
Thank you very much.
MSC?
Chair, thank you. I'd just like to add to the report and to say thank you to National Treasury and Public Works for the opportunity to spend this money, because it's absolutely essential. If we look at our statistics for repeaters in grade one, that our children are school ready when they come to school. So it's absolutely essential that there is clear communication and cooperation between social development, who deals with the 0 to 4 or 5 category, so that when we get them in grade R, from 5 onwards, before grade 1, that they are then school ready. And I'd love to have more money to spend, but it's a very, very good start. And I've no doubt that over a period of time we'll see a reduction in the number of repeaters in grade one in the system. Thank you.
Questions for clarity's documents? Makubera on our list. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Selection criteria for beneficiaries. You are having three categories there. 55% women, and then your 40 youth, 60 to 35, and 2% disabled. For the youth, you also indicated the years. What I would like to know, if you are saying women, they don't include the youth there, it's only women, and you come to disabled, you also don't come out with a gender, something of the sort, with the youth, you know. Number Yeah, on the challenges, I had the presenter said learners could not cope with the expectation of the skill program, either the medium of instruction or relevant of the time. But I wonder if I heard you properly. You also mentioned of the home language, what you wanted to say, so that just gives clarity there. Thanks.
Honourable Chair, thank you. When the minister, provincial minister, mentioned 1971, I started looking around for a very old grey-haired lady. And then this young lady sat down opposite me. And I suddenly realized that, in fact, in 1971, I was at university, and so perhaps I'm the old man here. Thank you very much for your presentation. I was just wondering, National Treasury raised the issue of the daily stipend, and there was a bit of a discrepancy there, but you in your presentation have said that you stuck to the 60 rand. So there seems to be a lack of clarity between you and National Treasury on that one. If we could get some clarity on that. Thank you.
The first question regarding the youth, the opportunities are there for both male and female. But because of the nature of the position and the stereotyping, and people out there perceive that that is only for a woman to do. However, I must add that we had 5 males as part of our EPWP incentive grant. So we didn't discriminate against them. The opportunities were there for them as well. In terms of the home language, the material is developed in English, and the facilitation is also done in English at the FET colleges. We do, however, have people who act as interpreters, and they are given the opportunity to do their task in their home language. Now, this could possibly have been one of the reasons for one of the 21 that have dropped out. But there were many more people who had struggled with the medium of instruction. But the college gave them additional support and additional time to hand in their completed tasks. In terms of the data, the variation between the daily wage, I'm not sure whether that was a report on education or the other department that qualified for the incentive grant. But it was definitely 60 rand per day, 1,200 per month, which we paid over to the colleges. And sorry if I may, Honourable Chair, just to say that the stipend that came from the incentive grant, as well as the stipend for the 648 ECD practitioner assistants, as well as the stipend for the 8 data capturers. But the tuition fees, that was paid from our equitable share. And the 6,000 rand per learner was paid over to the college for their 10-month skills program. So we used our equitable share as well as our incentive grant for this project.
Thank you very much, ma'am. We are passing on our members. I think the Mrs. Sisha, with regard to Western Cape, you are fine on this, on education in terms of figures.
I think, Chair, all I can say is that from our side, we had a meeting with the Provincial Treasurer on the 15th of May. They indicated that it was the other department where they were having issues with respect to expenditure. From where we're sitting, we obviously have to get our
numbers divided, but obviously we look at it from the national vote side.
Yes.
So obviously the numbers are combined. So that's where it creates a bit of an anomaly on that side. But it would be interesting, obviously, to hear from the other department as that. But that is the information we got from the province last week, from the provincial treasury last week. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. You wanted to come in, ma'am? I'm passing on this department.
Honorable Chair, thank you. I think the issue of the stipends was with the Department of Health, Western Cape.
Okay. MSC?
Chair, may I ask politely to be recused? I'm behind for my next appointment.
Thank you very much. You are.
Thanks very much.
Honorable members, I'm quite aware that we are running out of time. I know members have got other activities after 5. We still have got 2 provinces, unfortunately, and I'm good. Come again? No, I'm talking activities like study groups and all those other meetings, not social. So I'm going to request that we'll take Free State Health and Western Cape Health, and then it will be one after the other, and we'll ask questions to both of them at the same time. Each one of you will have 15 minutes to table your report. If you may come closer now, the 2 departments. Let's take Free State. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members, and the MEC's presence, as well as colleagues. I'm Dr. Sipho Kabane from Free State Department of Health. I'm with 2 colleagues here, CFO Mekhumo Mzozoyana on the extreme left, and the program manager, Mayor Sherry Hugo, on my left here. Basically,
you see whose report is still there? Do you see who's reporting? Thank you. Report, doctor.
Thank you. In the Free State, we submitted a business plan to National Public Works in March 2011, and we requested funding of 15.586 million, and we were targeting 948 home-based carers to benefit from this fund here. We also signed a memorandum of agreement which stated that we would pay a minimum wage of 55 rands per person per day. And this 55 is because in the Free State we've got in excess of 2,000 of these home-based carers. And this is the going rate. So when we took on additionals, we thought it would be difficult on the ground to pay them differently from those that are actually already appointed. Now, in terms of the budget, we were given this 15.586, and all of it was transferred to us, and we've spent about 74%. And basically, the difficulty was we received the first tranche in June, and we received the second tranche in July. And then immediately thereafter, all trenches were withheld, and the reasons we informed was because we were non-compliant with the ministerial determination, which required us to pay 60 rand per person per day instead of the 55 rand per person per day. And basically, with those delays, we had meetings as late as November to try and clear all of this, and we reached an agreement at that point here that we would indeed increase the payment to 60, because the department was in a position now to pay all our home-based carers that going rate. And then basically we during that period when trenches were not coming through, we were basically paying the home-based carers through our equitable share. in order to make sure that there's no disturbance in terms of service delivery. So we got the third and fourth trench, which were transferred to us in January 2012, as well as February 2012. And basically, this is almost at the time of the closure of the financial systems and the financial year. And these funds could not be generalized back to the equitable share. But all in all, all the home-based carers, from the time of appointment until the end of the financial year, were paid, and 948 of them benefited from the grant as per memorandum of agreement and the business plan. In terms of recommendations, we just think there needs to be better communication between the provinces and the National Public Works with regard to these agreements, because our understanding was that we'd pay 55, but after two transfers, it's only then that we started having a discussion about this non-compliance here. We believe that, we need to also avoid changes to business plans that have got wider implications, because for the province, in order to match the 60 rand per day per employee required an additional 3.9 million for us here to pay the other home-based carers in order to equalize the field. We're also worried about the consistency of the funding, because whilst we're given 15.58 in 2011, in this year it's only 7.5 million. And yet we're still sitting with this additional 948 home-based carers that we carry through from 2011. That's all, Honorable Chair.
Western Cape, you see, I said you must come closer. It's in our time.
Member, a chairperson and members, I'm Bandit Aris. I'm the Chief Director HR, and this is one of my programs, and I'm also the financial program manager for this particular program. I want to apologize for MEC, who initially our time slot was at 10 o'clock, and then it was moved, and he unfortunately could not make it, but he is well aware, and he prepared like I did in terms of this presentation, and we presented to him. With me, I have two colleagues, Andre Luck. He is the one in my office that coordinates with, and next to him is Chief Director Jimmy Dadwaba that deals with programs, and which specifically the home-based carers program is part of. And at the back we also have Nicola Wilson, who is also one of our coordinators in the community home-based care program.
Why is your head up?
My head of department had other commitments, and because we are directly responsible for it, we thought it's best that we come and present it ourselves. But he unfortunately wasn't able to make it either.
I'm asking you because your MEC indicated that normally in the absence of the political head, the accounting officer is the one that comes. Because he's the one, by law, who's supposed to account. Not you. You account to him, he accounts to us.
Yeah. The MEC was going to be here. It was in his diary for the 10 o'clock meeting, therefore...
I'm aware of the MEC. Yeah. I'm talking of your HOD because he has not even presented any apology. The apology that you are tabling is that the apology for the MEC, which I also got.
Okay.
And I apologize for the inconvenience at the beginning.
Okay.
but your HOD, who's an accounting officer, not here and he's not a broker. That's the question.
Okay. The way we understood it was that the MSC would be here and we would be
okay,
supporting him. I indeed will do so and inform him about it. Can I continue?
Yes.
Good. In terms of, I don't think I'm going to give all the background, but importantly to say that this is the national-wide program, and the objectives is drawing significant numbers of unemployment productive work. And so what we have done in the health department is that to provide them with skills and increase capacity through a stipend program, and the coordination of these skills and opportunities is crucial for us, and we try to maximize this by using these outcomes in our primary health care and related programs. And this we also, if you will see later how we, in fact, this informs part of some of the issues in our HR plan, and most certainly we can confirm that this, in fact, has enhanced our service delivery significantly. It's one of the programs that we are very proud of. And so the ultimate objective is to translate the opportunities into real jobs in the provincial government and at the non-profit organization partners that we have. So in terms of further background, the focus of the EPWP funding has been to fund and strengthen community-based services by rendered to the MPOs, and it's very important for our primary health care. And we do this through the training of community health carers on accredited program. And we also, importantly for us, we're also training farm workers, 126 in auxiliary health care. Again, it's also, they get the same kind of training as our other home-based carers. And through this, we also appointed a training of relief staff to assist us in terms of some of the MPOs weren't able to, when the people are on leave or sick, that we are able to relieve. And this is done through a payment of stipends to carers and relief workers. And one of the exit strategies which we are very proud of is that through this we are able to get some of these people into formal nurse training and provide them bursaries, and then also into our very successful learner pharmacist assistant and post-based training. Importantly for us, in terms of the numbers at the bottom, as you see, since the year 2007-8, we have escalated our training and our outcomes over the period until including that we had 8,187. And so further, that we focus on recruitment and selection of recent matriculants within the framework of the EPW. This is another part of it that offers 12-month internship opportunities, and this part had it that we have learners in pharmacy assistant, basic and post-basic, data capturers, human resources, finance, assistant to artisan program, operating theatre practitioners, and emergency medical service, basic ambulance assistant care. Now this is not necessarily what this is funded, but just to give you background, this is how we've expanded over the years, and our ultimate aim is that through this, as I say, in our HR plan, that these people are then so absorbed, at least 80% of these interns are then absorbed into our organization. And so, just to give you a little background, that we have received over the, and going back to the year 2009-10, we received 73.3 million, 82 in the year 10-11, and the year 11-12, we got 86.1 million rand. So, in terms of expenditure, the allocation to home-based care service for delivery of our MPO-driven community service, that's what it's all about, is to provide provide funding to get accredited training providers and to pay the learners a stipend, and then to deal with the logistics and accommodation issues. This slide also just gives you a little bit of background and how we, in fact, the group that I've spoken about, how we started in 2008-09 with data captures and how we've expanded until, including in the year 11-12, we were able to have data captures, assistance to artisan, learnership, HR and finance interns. And in this current year, we have again enrolled the amount of 648 individuals into our program going forward. And so importantly for us, we want to say that the Western Cape Health Department has allocated an amount of 8.6 million rand as an incentive grant, And this was to increase job creation by focusing on the strengthening and expansion of the social service delivery among low-risk care programs that have employment potential and that strengthen management capacity at NPO level to ensure efficient implementation of the grant output. And so we were very proud that this incentive grant was based on our past performance. And so again, I give you an indication of how we in fact have increased our carers. In the year 9-10, we started out with 2,491. The next year, 2,655. And the year that we're reporting on, we had 3,000 carers. In fact, it was 3,002. So we are able to say that we were very glad, and for the first year we got in the year 10, 1 million, and the year 11, 12, we got 8.6 million rand. And the split was that we would use 80% of the portion to stipends, this was 8.9 million, and the portion for management capacity was 1.7, and then just to say that for that particular amount, what we have is that we have agreed, and as others have reported, this was in our business plan, in our business case, where we definitely indicated how many we were going to have, and we had it as 438, and that's what we planned. So we want to say that in terms of the incentive grant, how we did this, importantly for us, that 80% of was portioned towards the stipend. As I've indicated, 438 were community care workers, and 8 was in our different districts. This was spread over our metro sub-districts as well as our 3 rural districts as well. So our distribution is also, and if you look at and the numbers, we will see what we've provided in our reports to indicate that in fact 69 NPOs benefit from this. 29 was in the metro and 30 was in our rural districts. Another area, and that was the issue on the 20% portion for management capacity, and this is the training, and this is what we wanted to do, was to have training of our current community care workers in the area of community rehabilitation, which was an identified area and which we wanted to make sure that we speed up on that area. So I want to emphasize and say yes, in terms of the tranches, we did get the money. We had difference of opinion about the stipend to be paid, because we also did not pay 60 rand originally, and we are all smiling, but we had quite hard discussions over a period of time. And to say that, you know, we have more than 2,600 home-based carers whom we do not pay the 60 rand. So what we have, and we've resolved, that in fact we should be doing that, and that was part of the reason, some of the reason that obviously also made that we did not spend all the money. So importantly for us is that we and here you would see some of the reason that we have, because we've added basically the 438 individuals added to our board. We don't see them as separate individuals. We report on them separately, but importantly to say that the attrition years were part of the entire group. So part of the, we did receive all the money, 8.6 of it. We underspent by 3.3 million, and I'm going to give you the reasons for that. One of it being the attrition rate, and this is now for the entire 3,000. We had an attrition rate of 5%, in which we don't think it's a bad it's 5%, but at the same time we want to say that our opportunity for these individuals is to eventually get into our organization as a department. So there were some delays, and obviously when they lose individuals, it takes some time for them to recruit, so there would have delays, and that was the area that we could not fully foresee. And as I've indicated already, we had several meetings to resolve our non-compliance, and we have then eventually settled that we will pay the 60 rand, and we have from our own sources added further to top of our others, and that we do not have frustration and problems with amongst our home-based carers, because that could have led to something like that. The further delays is that we also received many of the claims from our district as late and would not processed in time. And then importantly, the other 1.7, as I've alluded earlier on, our investment is towards rehabilitation, but we needed to get a provider to do the training. So there were delays in the procurement process, but we can confirm that in fact we have identified the trainer, and we will be, and I'm actually going ahead of myself, we have the consortium, and in fact the training will start very soon. So that was the reasons for the delay, the numbers, the stipend, and the issue of the fact that we weren't able to appoint the contractor in time to do the training for us. And so we have a plan of action. We have asked Provincial Treasury to roll over the funding for us, for in fact for us to spend this, because the reality is that some spending has already taken place. It's a question of the delays of the districts not processing it in time. And then the issue of us having and doing the training, and then we will pay the consortium that will do it for us, an area that we definitely need. And then we obviously will jack up our administrative processes. It's always something that any one of us can do, and we will most certainly, we have things in place to do that. And we will, obviously, I wasn't too sure whether we can bat to get some more money, but to confirm that we are committed to make sure that whatever we get, we will work hard to make sure that it works and that we increase our numbers, because this is indeed a very successful program in our organization. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Honorable members. Honorable Makwela. Honorable Dipia. You should raise your questions to both departments at the same time.
I'll start with the doctor. Doctor, I'm seeing here, you say there was an oversight, I'm sure in interpreting the MEU, which led to the payment of 55 rand. Now, was the instruction already given that the 60 rand should be paid? If so, 55 rand was paid. The disadvantage of those who receive 55 rand, what happened to them? Are they going to be given their surpluses, or what will be, or the money owned to them to make 60 rand? Western Cape, we try to explain which you wanted to take away my question, but let me come here. The delay, many claims from district received late and were not processed before the financial year end. I know the CFOs, the district, the human being, they tend to forget or not interpret this. Was any letter sent for the reminder before the end of the financial year? If so, when was that letter sent in order to remind them? The issue of meeting, you hear, or I thought it was future consumers test question, but you explained that the meetings were held. But here it was said, meetings with the National Department of Public Works, Social Department, to address and resolve this is to, you know, I thought it was a future consumers. If you said it has been held, then you have taken away my question. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you for the presentations to Western Cape. On the last page, there was a request to Provincial Treasury for a rollover of 3.3 million. Was it approved? Because that will depend on if you can go forward with your action plan.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Free State, Western Cape, I would also want to hear your comments in relation to the problem raised by National Treasury and the inputs by the previous department that was there. And then Free State, I see there's your report, you're reporting a 68% expenditure here. That's at the end of that particular period, I think. But then you have... Am I correct? Yeah. I'm talking Free State. Your document here in front of me talks about 68%, which I will assume it was as at the end of the financial year. You're correct. Oh, then let me save my breath and wait for the correction then. Western Cape.
I just need to be, we weren't here when the issue of, when the National Treasury...
Can you repeat yourself, Mr. Sish, about the Western Cape? They are saying they were not here when you are reporting. I think National Treasury reported 47% and da-da-da-da. Now, we assume that it would be 47% of both combined. And then we have received a report from the Education Department, and then which they indicated that perhaps the problem lies with yourself, not with them. So you are on the spot now. You should respond to that.
Importantly to say, we received all the money, the tranches, and I have letters to confirm that we did. And we have received all the money originally. There was a hold on one of the tranches because of our differences, which we then resolved. But we confirm we received everything.
Have you sent the report to National Treasury?
Yes. What we are saying, from that money, we've not to date spent the 3.3 million rand.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being that I've given. And from where we are, we will be spending that money in this coming year.
Provided the rollover is approved?
Provided it's approved.
Okay. Proceed with other questions. Oh, Honourable Liz.
Yes, to assist you, Mr. Chairman, each of the departments got about 8 million, I think. Education spent 100%, 99.9%.
Mm.
Overall, it's 47%. So, in terms of that, my mental arithmetic tells me health spent nothing to achieve a 47% overall. Now, that's clearly not correct. There's something wrong. You know, we're getting back to that old thing again.
We want to confirm that what we are presenting here, 3.3, as we know, we've not spent. We will certainly have spent the other money.
Okay. Proceed and answer other questions, then it's fine.
The issue of the delay, we, both of us, Jimmy and I, as the chief directors, and we have a structure, a senior strategic management team, of which is both his and mine, and in that, we, on a monthly basis, meet where we discuss how we're doing as in terms of funding, but as well as how the program is run. Andre and Nicola and Tobeka and Siba and Marcus, they are the directors that in fact will then deal directly with the districts. The follow-ups are done continuously. So it's not one formal letter that has gone out. It's a continuous process to engage. Now, again, it's about how claims come in. So that has been our particular problem. And so I'm not able to say one particular letter went out and said, you must do that now. It is how we do it on a continuous, on a monthly basis, we in fact engage on it. And when I, as a financial program manager report, I again explained, and we take it up both between Jimmy's team and my team, we continually, with my finance group and his finance group, we do it all the time.
Sir?
If I could just add on the delay of claims, I think as we interacted with the district, what we also discovered was that here and there was a question of capacity in terms of the staff that needed to process all the claims between us. As you could see that, in fact, we've got a huge EPWP home-based care program entrenched over a number of years, developed and institutionalized over a number of years. At the center, which is where we sit, we have now since appointed a deputy director, finance, supply chain management, within the office where I sit. And we think that capacity going forward will assist us in terms of processing claims quickly and ensure that there are no delays. If I could, through the permission of chairperson, also make another point, which is around target setting. On an annual basis, we attend a national social sector EPWP cluster. One of the issues we raise there is Western Cape, the social sector, or social cluster Western Cape, was the question of setting targets centrally, as it was alluded to by colleagues earlier, that in terms of process, the targets historically are set centrally. So what we raised was that based on our experience of running the health system in Western Cape, we have actually developed quite a good projection tools where we believe that if there could be space to accommodate, in other words, when the targets are set nationally, that there's also a bottom-up kind of approach. We think that will add value in order to make sure that the targets that are set are closer to the truth or are more realistic if inputs from the service providers and agencies are also taken into account. Thank you.
Doctor?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I think the question was saying that were there any home-based carers that were disadvantaged when we started paying the 60? I think the answer to that is that from the start, in 2011, we were paying all of the home-based carers 55 rand. So we didn't pay these 60, because it would have cost a discrepancy on the ground. But we had discussions around November, and at that point, the province had sufficient funds to pay the rest, the 60%. So when we started paying 60, everybody got their 60 rand. And that's the rate that we're going to be using moving forward. I think in terms of the percentage expenditure, our figures are closer to the 75 here. I think this is an earlier version of the presentation which was incorrect.
No, I want the actual, not something close.
We calculated at 74%. And I think Treasurer said it was 75.1.
The reason why, Doctor, I want the exact thing, I will assume that your reports are signed off by you, so you can't have a different report from what you have already given out. Not unless, even in your case, they still get information from the project managers.
Well, our figures are based on the expenditure on PASS.
Yes, I'm saying, so that's been the case, and you've been the one signing off the report, if that is the case. Is that the case?
The report, no. Yeah. I sign off the business plan as well as the memorandum of understanding. But the monthly reports, both narrative and financials, up to now have been sent through by our program manager. But I think the recommendations that have been made earlier on are noted here. And I'm sure we'll follow that route.
Please, because you don't want this situation where you come and give us this figure that is close to. We want you to give the exact one. Is Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just a couple of things for clarity, just to assist in some of the other questions. Firstly, there was a question around, I believe from Honourable De Beer, the department applied for rollover. Did they get it? The National Rollover Committee is meeting on the 28th of November, and only thereafter will rollovers be the issue of rollovers be finalized. So The department doesn't know whether or not the rollover has been, because the committee is still going to, 28th of May. Did I say November?
Yeah.
Oh. 28th of May, I beg your pardon. 28th of May, that's next week Monday, the National Rollover Committee will meet. After that point, we'll be able to make recommendations, Chair, to the Minister, after which both the National Department and the Provincial Departments will be informed whether or not it's been approved. So that's that on that side. I think it is important to point out, given the what has been observed, for me to acknowledge the fact that we take note that it is clear that something has gone wrong in the spending reporting for this crop. I think that from our perspective, and it is unique, we're not experiencing this problem with other grants, it seems that something hasn't quite gone right here. And we're going to have to think up of a new way of addressing it other than what we did for the other grants, because I've taken note of the fact that it seems that for some reason we just need to find each other, whether it's the National Treasury, the Provincial Treasury, the National Department, the Provincial Department, we need to find a way of finding each other. And I've noted the fact that we are going to quite aggressively try and sort this out, because it seems that something really has not gone right here. I do want to state finally, Chair, from my side, for the record, because I think it is important from a Treasury perspective to state it for the record, that we, our position is that it is not correct for a department to spend money in one financial year which was appropriated in a different financial year. The reporting is beside the point. The point of the matter is that we'd have to obviously look and see what happened in the finance unit of the department, but expenditure should either happen by the end of March, in the year in which it is appropriated, or if it can't happen by the end of March, a rollover should be applied for in order for it to be spent in the next year. Otherwise, it falls outside of the regulations as defined by the PFMA. So, Chair, I think it's important for us, as a Treasury, to make that point very clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Teacher. But can we then agree that in light of this conflicting report, particularly between the departments, Treasury and Public Works, and for the purpose of our reporting, that you will find a way of making sure that you get your figures right and communicate the correct figures to us, so that as we table our report, we report the correct things, not this mixed up that is being reported here. And may I also request that in future there is that kind of communication, particularly if you know that you're going to both. In most instances, any department that comes before us, Treasury is there. So it will be much more important. It's understandable if the differences are between the Treasury and provinces, but if you are between department, two departments at both national level, it's quite an acceptable situation. Because even at provincial level, because HODs sign off on those reports, we expect them to be the same. That's why we don't want to entertain this thing of project managers being the one source of generating this report. How long do you think it can take you, two departments, to get this thing right and report back to us, ma'am?
Honorable Chair, we take note of the recommendation. Definitely we will sit with National Treasurer. I think if you can give us a week so that we can relate to the committee with the correct figure.
A week, members, is fine. Thank you very much, honorable members. So that was all for today, honorable members, and let me thank you for attending this meeting, and this meeting stands adjourned. I thank you. Thank you. Gracias.
We're not there because we didn't get any change as well.
You never know, but you'll be making it.
No, it's about 6 months. Okay?
Let me just book it for 10 minutes. Yeah, you can myself. Thank you.